Thank you, Father, again for the fact that we can identify with some of those words where we were lost, and yet you came and sent your Son, Jesus. And we want to thank you for the way that by your Holy Spirit you revealed to us how real you are, and we could really experience what it is to be baptized in your love, into your family, and to know the depth of this love, and to continually just explore and experience more and more of the power of this love, and how real, transforming it is, how liberating it is, how pure it is. And we want to thank you. Our prayer this morning, Father, is that this nation and the nations, we will live loved in your love. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A few weeks now, we've been looking at that Matthew chapter 18, and particularly verse 19 and verse 20. And so I want that just to be our starting point again, so that we know what today is about. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Now, we've looked at that, so I'm not going to continue with that in praying the will of the Father, etc., because when we yoked with Jesus, Jesus was all about glorying his Father. So when we yoke with him, our prayers will be to glorify the Father as well. So we've dealt with that. Now, the purpose of this morning is for us to come to an agreement, because we want this to be our lifestyle, to begin to practice, to live in the reality of two or three coming in agreement, knowing the Father's will and asking in the name of Jesus, and seeing that being established here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're wanting to come to an agreement this morning that it's important for you and I to know the reality of a Heavenly Father's love. So we hopefully that there'll be two or three that will say, yes, I need to grow more in what it is to be loved by God. Because that's what we're wanting to pray in agreement. And you will understand why it's so important as we go on. We see this happening many times in Scripture, where in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul is praying for the body of Christ, and he prays the same thing. And we're going to read from verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And that's a big deal, just those two verses. But look what he says. I pray that out of his glorious riches, this is our Heavenly Father, that he may strengthen you. That our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, our Heavenly Father, that he may strengthen us here this morning with power through his Spirit. So we know to be able to grasp, to grow deeper into the reality of our Father's love. And let me rather use the word this morning, God's love, because it's the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the reality of God's love. We read over here that so that by the Holy Spirit that we may be strengthened with his power in our being. So in our praying in agreement, this is going to be a prayer that we be praying, that our Heavenly Father will enable us with his power to grasp, to grow, to experience, to be able to live more in the fullness of his incredible love for you and I. And you will understand if you've experienced more and more of the reality of God's love, you know that your body cannot handle that love. It's too pure. It's just too good. It's so incredible, alive. And that's why we're going to need to ask the Father to enable us to be able to grow in the reality of His incredible love. Why? Because we love because He first loved us. So in order for us to love our community and our nation, we need to grow more in the reality of being loved by our Father so that we can love more with His divine love that's within us. So it's not just about ourselves experiencing what it is to be loved, and so that we can love and make His love complete, as we see there in 1 John chapter 4. So he carries on and he prays this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints, so it's the whole body of Christ, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. 3 weeks ago, the decree that God gave us to release was the increase of the manifestation of God's kingdom and God's glory. So here you understand why for us to be able to grow into a greater understanding, a greater knowing, a greater experience of God's love, so that you may be full to the measure of all the fullness of God. The manifestation of His kingdom and of His glory is all contained in that truth over here. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. So here again, God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to know the reality of God's love for us. Okay, so it's His power that has worked within us. He's doing it. So you can sit and you can actually get into agreement. Father, by your Holy Spirit, you're busy working in my life. You know, find rest in that fact that God is actually working in our lives. And we just receive that and rest and trying to, because we're so good in our DIY method to try and improve our lives with our own DIY programs. But here we see an incredible reality of the power of God's love by the Holy Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay. Philippians 1 and verse 9, here's another prayer that Paul prays. And he says, and this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. So again, you see here that all of us here, we love because we know the reality of God's love within us. So we love one another. But Paul is praying for increase. Paul is praying for growth in the reality of love. And again, so he's praying. We see that also in the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 3. Here Paul is also praying, and he says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love for every one of you has for one another is increasing. And so once again, in that reality, therefore amongst God's children, we boast about your perseverance and faith and all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring. So here we see all of a sudden where the faith and this love that's growing is necessary to enable them to be able to face the trials and the persecutions that they are experiencing. So they are an example for the other believers in the other provinces, etc., to take note of how this family, how these believers are enduring the tough times that they're going through. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, here we read again where Paul makes another prayer. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brethren throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. So again, we see the growth that is necessary for the expansion, the greater manifestation of God's kingdom and the greater manifestation of God's incredible glory. We need also to grow in a greater reality of the love of God. Okay. It's going to be a very important part of our time. So as we sort of, you know, the world at this time celebrates Christmas, it celebrates the birth of Jesus. We're celebrating the reality of God's incredible love for us, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world so that we can be saved. And we're busy with that right now. So let's begin as we go into a time of receiving. In John chapter 1, I want to read from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Then came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, this is now Jesus, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I spoke. He who came after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only Son, who is at the Father's side and has made him known." First of all, just to start this morning, when we decreed the increase of the manifestation of God's kingdom, God's government, and God's incredible, tangible presence here on earth, one of the things that is important for understand, as we looked at that our Lord Jesus Christ, when we looked at the prophecy in Daniel, that our Lord Jesus Christ, he is born a king, and Jesus brings in the fulfillment, he brings in the reality of what Daniel prophesied concerning the kingdom that was out of the mountain but not by hands, his everlasting kingdom. So when we're starting to speak about the kingdom of God and the incredible presence of God, here we see a very important foundational truth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The law came from Moses, and we see the reality of the law. We see the reality that God gives the law, and that law was such an incredible part to make man aware of just how unable they are to become righteous. Okay, so that's why Christ became and he fulfilled. He's our righteousness. So we see up here the consequence of the law, the fruit of the law. If we look at the history, we see the history of how the law worked amongst particularly the Jewish nation. Now we come and all of a sudden Jesus brings in the kingdom, and he says now the fullness of grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. So now when we're starting to understand, when we say thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we've got to now begin to renew our mind and say, when we're speaking about the manifestation of the kingdom of God, with that is the fullness of grace and truth. It is God himself leaning forwards and giving himself to mankind in and through his son Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus. It was God in his son reconciling the world back to himself. So here we begin to understand there's something about the manifestation of the kingdom of God and the manifestation of his incredible manifest presence, grace and truth. The fullness of grace and the fullness of truth is part of that now. So here's something that we have to now begin to grow into. We've got to begin to spend the time, and Lord, what is this fullness of grace and this fullness of truth? Help us to begin to get a deeper understanding of this. And it's just like the reality of we love because God first loves us. Same with this grace and this truth. As we are gracious people, and we share truth because we know ourselves this grace and this truth within us. We know the power of grace. We know the power of truth. So it's not head knowledge we are sharing. It's relational. Okay. We know grace. We know truth because God is grace and God is truth. So those are two very, very important things now that I'm just sharing right now, because we need to start to go deeper and deeper into what that means. From the fullness of grace, we have received one blessing after another. Okay, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side and has made him known. So now in Christ Jesus, we're getting an understanding of the fullness of grace, the fullness of truth, but also the reality of this incredible love of God. God is love. Okay, so we over there. Now, let's carry on, and there's quite a few scriptures that I want to just go through this morning. We've just sang that song, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now, what is going to be that which motivates us to reach out? What is it? What will it be that's going to enable us to look past ourselves, to be able to be involved with the ministry and the message of reconciliation? What is it that's going to enable us to get past being offended, being past being feeling that nobody loves me? What's going to be that which is going to give us the motive, the energy, the desire to be able to run the race, to be able to really fight the good fight of faith? This is where the reality of the power of God's love. So when Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, it is the love of God that motivates us. You see, so in order for us to be able to look past ourselves, We've got to begin to know a deeper reality of the love of God. In order to be able to pray for the people, we've got to understand what unconditional love is all about. Because most of us understand conditional love. If we perform, I'm going to be loved. And so we've grown up in a world system, in a religious system, in an educational system, in a work environment, everywhere. It's all about its performance, and then I'm going to be some form of loved by humanity. That's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. Why this is so important? Because we see there that love does not keep account of sin. So now when we are, if we're not knowing this incredible love of God, we're going to look at someone and we're not going to be able to reach them because we're going to see their sin. We're going to see what the offense, we're going to see what they've done for us. We will not be able to look at a person as if they've never sinned. Can you see why we need to know the love of God? Because we get caught up when we, let's say your husband or your wife or your mother-in-law or your father-in-law, whatever it may be, they've done something over there and they've hurt you over there and you need to pray. No, you can't look past because all you see is that sin in their lives. But God, through His Son Jesus, does not count man's sin against them. This is the way of love. This is to be able to look at the politicians that we, to be able to see them as God sees them, that he still need to receive salvation, but to be able to realize, but in Christ, God himself was reconciling the world back to himself, not counting their sin against them. A deeper love. A deeper love. So, maybe now there's only five that wants to come into agreement and says, let's pray for deeper love. Maybe by the end we'll get to maybe just two. That'll be all of us, eh? But there's a cost involved. He said, because it's going to be this love of God that we know that's alive within us. It's going to give us that energy to be able to reach out to the unlovables, to be able to touch people's lives that we do not want to touch, to be able to look past the offense, to be able to forgive, to be able to really be able to see people, understand that with Christ, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ in me, that it's a reality, and to begin to picture in your spirit realm that it was the Father and His Son reconciling all back to Him. And all of a sudden, just that reality, Father, you were in your Son reconciling, that's the finished work, and all of a sudden, now we can begin to pray, whatever we come into agreement. See? Now we're starting to get in agreement because we're beginning to know the love of God. And one thing I've realized as we're growing in this love is that we will not understand the kingdom of God if we are not growing in the fullness of God's love. You can read the parables of the kingdom. But the deeper we grow in the revelation and the knowing and the experience of the love of God, you'll find there the understanding of the parables of the kingdom change. Because we see it differently. We're seeing it now from the realm of the kingdom, full of grace and truth. So guys, this is our part of walking in the decree that God said we must release. This is part of our journey. This is part of us growing. This is part of us being involved in reaching out to touch so that our communities, that our nations, the towns and the cities that we live in can begin to experience the manifestation, a greater degree, the greater manifestation of the incredible reign of God, the government of God, His manifest presence like never before. And that's where life changes for many, many people. And they begin to taste and see that God is good. in a way, because we know the reality of this unconditional love that the Father has for us. So we love because He first loved us. Imagine living in a marriage relationship. No one here, but anyway. Imagine living in a marriage relationship where love is conditional. Imagine having to perform to be loved by your spouse or loved by your parents. See, and we think, no. And for many, that might be our experience. And probably all of us have lived in that reality. But we saw in that prayer that Paul prays that our Father, in which all the families in heaven and earth derive its name, may we have a revelation, may we know the depth of your love for all. So if we don't like what we experience in the natural, how much more can you begin to understand our Father's unconditional love for all us? We don't have to perform to be loved by Him. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is how He showed His love. He died for us. The nature of God's love. Let's look at that a little bit. Let's go to that famous portion in 1 Corinthians 13. Where it speaks about love. But just look at this. This is God's love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love is not self-seeking. I've shared this many times. One of the love of God, the nature of God, it's the very essence of His love. It's that built-in reality. It cannot be removed. It's who He is. This selflessness of God's love, where here we see love is not self-seeking. What is the main issue when it comes to human love? Self is in the way. Let's have a look. Adam and Eve, they lived loved by God. They lived loving one another. They loved creation. They loved the animals, the plants, everything. There was this incredible love reality taking place. Obviously the devil comes, and what took place once they disobeyed? They began to blame one another because self. So the moment that incredible living love was removed, in a way, suddenly self rose up, and then we started to blame one another from that very moment. So we notice there in this love of God, for God so loved the world that He gave. Selfless. We've noticed with God's love, as I shared, that He was in His Son, Jesus, reconciling the world back to Himself. Selfless. We've noticed many, many times in Scripture where we see This is how we know what love is. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, this is how we know what love is. God sent His Son to die for us. Again in 1 John chapter 4, and we read there from verse 7 onwards, this is how we know what love is. It was God who sent His Son to die for us. Selfless. So now there may be two. Because growing in this love of God and moving in the reality of this love of God, having this love of God that's within us, energizing us and empowering us to be able to go forwards. Guess what? We have to live in the truth that we've died to the old man. See, so that truth that God shared many years back is becoming very real now for us to be able to live in the reality of being loved and to love. So as we looked at there in Romans chapter 6, that when Christ died, we died, but when He was raised from the dead, we too have been raised from the dead to be able to live this incredible life of His resurrection life within us. So now as believers, to grow in this love, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, for us to grow in this love and to know the power of this love, to know the forgiveness of this love, to know the purity of this love, and to know God's selflessness in dealing with our lives, is huge. That's the freedom, because we battle with self. So the best in the old covenant, the law came through Moses. The best that they could do when they came and asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, to love the Lord God with all your heart, body, soul, etc., and to love your neighbor as yourself. That was the best they could do. So they could love God from that self-centeredness. They could love their neighbor from their self-centeredness. And that's how far that love could go. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And we're in this reality of the kingdom. We are born not of man, born of the Spirit, born of the Father. We are children of God. So now we are in this family, this royal family, as we looked at last time. Now what took place? All of a sudden, a divine miracle took place and God poured His Spirit into our hearts. And Jesus said, now, the old covenant, you could love from your self-centeredness. And that's how far you could go. But now you will love as I loved you. Selfless love. Now in the new covenant, full of grace, full of truth, now this is the new commandment I give to you, that you will love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. So now as we are, as we looked at last Sunday, because Jesus is our brother, because Jesus is the King of the kingdom, we are in the family. We are in the royal family. So now we're asking ourselves, okay, now as people of the kingdom of God, citizens of heaven, how are we going to walk on this earth? Well, the old has gone, the new has come, you're a new creation. Get into agreement with that. There's a selfless love now that's inside of you. My love. Now you're able to love from a place of selflessness. That is why we speak a lot about having unforgiveness, because that is so self-centeredness. It's not genuine love. It's destructive. But with this love of God, this will be the best marriage counseling I'll give you. Look at your spouse. They may have done something that may have offended you. Look at your spouse as if they had never sinned in their life. That's God's love. Self is out the way now. Now you know how to pray. Now you know how to respond because self is out the way. Love does not take sin into account. Love is not self-seeking. And how do you do that? It's simple. The moment self rises up, self, you died with Christ. It's not, you've got no power in my life anymore. You're dead. Thank you for your resurrection power, because there's a new law of the Spirit of life that is now operating within us. That is why we're able to walk in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. And that is why we're able to partake in His divine nature, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. That is why we're able to be so yoked with Jesus and to be able to grow in the manifestation of His love that we know is alive within us. One more scripture, maybe. In Romans chapter 8, let's have a look at this. How do we know whether we are living loved by our Father? Here we read, and it's, we're going to read from verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. So, if I'm living loved by my Father, no matter my situation, I know that all things work out for the good for those who love Him. That's the reality of living loved by our Father. So how do I look at my problems? How do I look at my situations? How do I look at everything that's taking place? How do I look into my future? If I'm looking at my past and I'm looking in my present, I'm looking into my future with the knowing, it's relational. Father, I'm loved by You. All this is going to work out for my good. What happens? All of a sudden, I have an energy. All of a sudden, I have a faith. All of a sudden, I have a hope. All of a sudden, I'm able to live in the reality of being in the kingdom and not in this world system, freed from that. This is the consequences of us living loved by our Heavenly Father. This is the freedom that comes with His love. Free from a mindset that is destructive, that woe is me, this victim mindset, into an incredible mindset. God, I'm loved by You. Nothing is going to separate me from being loved by You. Okay, let's have a look. What else is part of the evidence? And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That's why the whole reality of being loved by the Father, you know purpose. You know why you exist. And Jesus said simply, this is my new commandment I give you, to love one another. He goes on and he says in John chapter 14, this is my commandment, love one another. So if we just live being loved and loved one another, we're living in our divine purpose. And the rest is all part of just the joy of experiencing the tangible ways of how this love is made known. Okay. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Isn't that powerful? Because when man fell, we lost our identity. When man fell, we lost that reality of that incredible relational love that Adam and Eve had. But getting born again by the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden we are being transformed into His likeness again, to the likeness of Jesus. Once again, that image is no longer captured by sin. Our will is no longer captured by the power of sin. The image of God is no longer distorted and captured by the power of sin. No, that power is broken, so that once again we can experience love Love is not self-centered, so why did God create us? It's because He's love. Love shares. Love wants the best for us. Love is good. So God could not keep this love to Himself, you know, within the Trinity. No, let's create man in our own image so that they are able to experience what it is to be loved by us. But also they are able now, because they're in our image, to be able to love one another. They can share and know the incredible life in love. There's our purpose, is to love. Everything else flows out of that. And then Paul carries on and he says, and this, and we've dealt with this before, those He predestined, He also called; those He called, He also justified; and those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? What was the first thing that happened when Adam and Eve fell? They hid. Being loved by God, we don't hide, because we know God is for us. He's selfless. He's not counting our sin against us. And this is one of the things, I think, when it comes to sharing the gospel, because many, many times we can share the gospel in a way that makes people run away from God. Instead of, but God is for you. He was in His Son on that cross, reconciling you back to Him. He's for you. It's a different way of sharing the gospel. So we don't have to hide. When we do slip up, what's our tendency is to hide from God. And the religious system will make you feel guilty because this is what you've done. But true sons and daughters of God will look as God looks. What's sin? It's like, we're not counting that against you. And to be able to speak life into a person's life so that once again they're able to respond and to live out the incredible destiny in Christ Jesus. He did not spare His own Son. He gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? And this is an area that I think is such a big part for us right now in learning the reality of being loved, is worrying about lack, worrying about the tomorrows, worrying about the future. Then we know we need to grow in the reality of being loved by our Father. And if we're honest with ourselves, that's why it's always good to be honest and to say, but I need to know this love, Father, because I'm so stressed out about tomorrow. I'm so stressed out about this and that kind of stuff. If we're honest, Father, we two or three come in agreement. I get in agreement that I need to know Your love, Father, and I'm asking now, let me grow in the reality of love. I need the power of Your Holy Spirit to open it up, to give me the revelation of what it is to be loved by You. We are living in a kingdom, and we want the manifestation of the kingdom and the presence of God. But we need to be people that are learning what it is to be loved by our Father. Otherwise, we will become pretty stingy in the reality of what we see all taking place. And we will say, oopsie, not enough. This is going to stretch us to grow and to walk in the fullness of the way God's leading us. This is going to stretch us for in many areas of our life, because all the time we only have self that determines what to do, what to say, blah, blah. Self has been crucified with Christ Jesus. We're walking in truth now. and not in knowledge. It's truth for the manifestation, increase of His kingdom. We've got to, His Christ is full of grace and truth, and He is truth. So we're growing in that. He carries on and he says over here, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? I've been in many marriage counseling sessions where the wife is charging the husband for this, he's done that, and the husband's, he's done that, and it's just all this time. But the one who's loved in a relationship, who can bring any charge against me? Freedom. God's freedom. Freedom. You see? Because in Christ is no condemnation. Who can bring a charge against me? See, it removes the blame game. Freedom. You can look at one another as though they have never sinned and begin to speak differently, prophesy differently, pray differently into our families and our friends' lives, whatever. And he goes on and he says there, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? What it is to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Eh? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Brilliant. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? So this is a reality that walking loved by God doesn't mean we're not going to suffer. Walking loved by God doesn't mean we're not going to have pain in life. But He's with us. That's the difference. We know we're loved in all of that. And that love, it powers us to be able to get the breakthrough, to be able to, us to live in the jail with prayers on our heart. As we see many times, Christians that have been thrown in, persecuted in jail, because they know what it is to be loved. And he carries on and he shares over here. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That more than conquerors is like hyper conquerors. It's not just, I've just conquered. This is pretty hyper. And it's above the victory, because we know that we loved. So despite all they're facing death, despite all the persecution, the famine, the hardships, the shipwrecks, despite being unemployed, despite being persecuted by family, despite the betrayals, despite all that takes place in our day-to-day lives, now in all of the things, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, we are more. Through Him who loved us, because we know we're living in the reality of being loved. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we close, is there maybe two or three that will say, I want to know, I want to grow in this love. I realize that I live fearful. I realize that I live with a guilty conscience. I realize I live blaming. I realize I live just a life that's got no identity to it. There's no purpose to it. I live a life that I'm blaming everybody else for my situation. Whatever it may be. We need to know the love of God to live loved. And then we are able to love because we know His love. So our standard from loving from a human perspective of that self being the sort of the measurement of how much we love, that is put down, it's died, and now it's Christ's love. And now we start to love as Christ loves, who gave His life for all. Selfless love. That's the growth. Amen. So, we're going to have communion now. And But I want to pray, and you, if you're in agreement, you can pray. And also in time of communion, you please just respond as God has shared with you. Father, thank you that through your Son Jesus Christ, we who believe may have eternal life. It's the quality of your life that we have entered in forever. And that starts when we got born again. We didn't know the power of your love before, but you still loved us, because while we were still sinners, Father, your Son died. So there's never been a time where you have not loved. And we want to thank you that you, in your incredible grace, brought us to that realization of just how powerful and how awesome and good is your love for us. When by your Holy Spirit we understood the reality of your Son Jesus Christ. Father, this morning we come in an agreement that we need to grow more and more in the reality of your love for us. We need to be established, Father, in the height, the depth, the width, the length of the love that Christ has for us, so that this love becomes our foundation. This love can be the very source of how we live and how we move. That this love of yours, Father, will be so tangible within us that we will be able to be people that the world will be able to say, these are your disciples, because they recognize a selfless love. They recognize your love in us. And they can see your love compared to their love. We go beyond the measurement of self. But Father, we know that this is not easy. This is scary. We know, Father, it's like us wanting to leap off and bungee jump into the unknown of the depths of your kingdom reality and your glory reality. And so today we ask, with that in agreement with when Paul prayed, that Father, by your power through the Holy Spirit, we ask that you will enable us to be able to grasp this love, to know this love more and more and more, so it surpasses our head knowledge and it moves into a knowing that will be a beginning of an amazing journey with you, into growing into, so that we, and it's not just an individual, but it's your family, it's your body, that we, together with all the saints, that we may be filled with the full measure of Christ Jesus, of you and Holy Spirit. So we're asking, Father, that as a body of Christ in our community, in our cities, as the body of Christ in this nation, that there will be such a revelation of your love, what it is to be loved by you, that you will open up what the quality, the nature of your love. It'll become so tangible, Father, that your family, this incredible army of yours, Lord Jesus, will rise up and walk. We will walk together in unity with you, Lord, wherever you lead us. And there will be this wave of glory, kingdom manifestation, wherever we go with you, Jesus, to bring life into this nation. So we ask, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, because your Son Jesus taught us when he said there that, how do we remain in your love? We remain in your love by walking in truth, because your truth is full of love. It's selfless. It's for the best for our lives. So as we walk in truth, we remain in the reality of experiencing this incredible love. So we want to be an army walking into truth. We want to be, Father, an army that is walking in the reality of living loved, because we're living in your incredible truth. This love of yours is full of grace and full of truth. And so we ask by your Holy Spirit that that which is not truth, that which is confused us, that in your way, your by your Spirit, lead us into all truth, that we may begin to just grow. And as you share with us, we can begin to walk in that, because that's what true love is all about, walking in your ways, because you want the best for us. And your word is the best for us. Your truth is the best for us. So we ask that you will enable us to go through a detox of religion, a detox of self-centeredness and the truth concerning that. That you will go through a detoxing situation where we may still feel guilty and our past is holding us back, and we just can't seem to get freedom. We can't get out of the trap we're in. That we ask, Father, by your Spirit, let truth be released into our lives in the name of Jesus. And thank you for that. Father, you've shared many times that you love us too much to leave us where we are, stuck in our pain, stuck in our situation, stuck in our confusion. And that's why we know that nothing that's happening to us is for our destructiveness. We have learned, and we are learning, that all things are working out for the good for those who love you. So we receive, and in this there will come a revelation of goodness, will come a revelation of your glory in our present situation, so that you are glorified in our lives, through our lives, within the whole family of God, that people will be able to just recognize and see, wow, God, you are a real, living, incredible God. And we thank you for that. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said what we ask our Father in heaven, he's going to do that. So we want to thank you as we just say yes to you, as you enable us to walk. Another amazing truth that you shared, was as you are. This is not as you were, as you are. Now, so are we on this earth. And I'm asking, Father, for that understanding and that to receive, that that truth will be established within us. Because we are in the royal family. Jesus, as you are, so are we on this earth. Holy Spirit, let that ring deep into our spirit. Let it explode into our spirit. Just that is so much freedom taking place. As you are, Jesus, in your incredible resurrected glory, so are we. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. So are we here on this earth. So, Lord Jesus, we step into that identity. We step into that calling. We step into that by your grace. And we say, yes, Lord, that's what we're asking for. to live that truth out. And Father, this we ask in the name of Jesus. So as we have the communion this morning, we want to celebrate your selfless love. We want to celebrate, Father, the purity, the goodness of your love, the power of your love. As we take and we eat the bread, knowing, Lord Jesus, that your brokenness was for all of humanity so that we can get the healing. Knowing, Lord Jesus, that your blood has freed us from the consequences of sin, the wages of sin is death. Your blood has freed us. We have been loosed totally from that power of sin. And we belong to you. So, Father, as we eat and drink this morning, be reminded again how great is your love that you have poured it, have you lavished it over us, that we are called your children. And that's who we are, your children, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.